Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 54 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, and as always, I am joined by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters. Welcome, folks.
Woo!
Hello. I have yet another background.
There we go. It's video. We never know what we're going to get with Megan each week.
Oh, no. We never know.
Meanwhile, my background has never changed in like the 54 weeks we've done this.
I
remember like we had the work that went into Christian's background. We were like, hey, we got to launch this. Hey, it's going to be on video. Hey, you need a backdrop.
Yeah. It's like, hey, your office sucks. Do you have bookcases? Yeah. Buy them. Fill them with Pokemon things. I'm getting you a Build-A-Bear.
There we go. And the rest was history.
Yeah.
So if you're new to the show, we talk about all things Pokemon. We like to think this show helps to make you a better, smarter Pokemon fan. The show's broken up into three parts. We do news at the top part, and then we take a break. Then we do a deep dive into a discussion topic of the week. And then at the very, very end, Christian gives us a Pokemon fact of the week. Megan, I cannot believe that you missed the Geodude week because, whew, boy, oh boy, that was a good one.
Damn.
I just hate to have missed it. We know how much I love Geodude. Yeah,
I know. I realize that was 2 weeks ago now, but I just still need to bring it up, the fact that you missed the Geodude.
I did listen to it. I thought it was rousing discussion. I was, though, shocked at how agreeable both of you were to one another.
It's true. That generally never happens.
So,
go ahead.
We will kick it off with the Golem fact that we didn't actually talk about. Golem is only Pokemon of the core 150 Pokemon from the original games, not counting Mew, of course, because, Mew's weird. That is the only Pokemon that does not appear in the original Pokemon games at all, unless you have one. So all 149 other Pokemon are present either in the wild or owned by a trainer. Golem is not.
Gengar is? I'm trying to think of like the trade Pokemon.
Yeah Gengar, Mamp, all of those. But apparently the Pokemon, the makers of those original Pokemon games were also ashamed of Golem.
Nah, stop it. That is not the reason.
Wow.
Get out of here with that BS.
Golem is objectively the best evolution, though, of that series. Oh, like, sure. I feel like they needed to include.
Nope, Christian, we'll just leave it at that. Golem is the best evolution of that line, and that is it. Thank you. Moving on. So Gigantamax Eevee is currently in Sword and Shield raids. Last week, we told you about Big Chunky Pikachu coming to raids. So if you wanted to upgrade the Pikachu that you may have gotten from other various places, you can. This is the now it's Eevee's turn. So if you didn't have an Eevee from Let's Go that could Gigantamax, now you can get a Gigantamax Eevee.
Yeah. So that's only lasting until the end of this weekend. So you only have until, I believe, the 25th to do so. So hurry it up, people.
I mean, it's not like you're missing anything if you don't have it, unless you are just a collection perfectionist like myself, or you just really want perfect IVs for Eevee. Mm. But it's basically useless.
Or you want Eevee's very surprisingly... So Eevee's hidden ability is anticipation, which means it will like shudder in anticipation, which is the weirdest thing. Like, the reason it shudders is it's warning you that your opponent has something that can kill it in like one hit or a super effective move. However, that comes off as like Eevee shudders in anticipation. It's like that is like the beginning of like Pokemon erotica right there.
I mean, it just sounds so weird because like when you say like shuddering and anticipation, it does imply like excitement or like,
right.
Something like arousal or like something like that. Yeah. But Evie clearly isn't excited about this. Yes. Like, oh. It should be like quivers or something.
Yes. That's even more sexual, Megan.
Oh, okay, that is not trembling. I don't know.
That was sexual.
Okay, Hopper.
Those are all.
Get that mind out of the gutter.
Right. Well, we're all going to take a step out of the gutter. And
I just think Hopper's the only one who needs to do that.
Could you imagine if Mr. Mime had that hidden ability?
Nope.
And now we're moving on.
Next,
Mr. Mime quivers with anticipation.
You get Gigantamax Meowth next week. So we'll talk about Meowth next week. Long cat Meowth.
Which does not tremble with anticipation or anything else.
Body cat Meowth or body pillow Meowth.
Basically. Yeah, basically.
Why are you doing this to me?
All right, moving on. You two are the worst.
I've literally done nothing. Why did you have to say that, Jim? I've literally done nothing. I was trying to correct Hawk.
You're the one who was talking about Meowth body pillows.
So Pokemon Go is a game that we all still play. And this week, we currently have the Hoenn Throwback Challenge. But it's kind of crappy.
All I have to say is this. Niantic, make freaking ghost Pokemon spawn if you're going to have a,
have a ghost type challenge.
Yeah.
Give me the god darn ghost type. I have spent 5 incense from every hour. I was up this morning at 4:30 in the freaking morning feeding a newborn. I'm like, oh, time to get my ghost Pokemon. Throw on an incense, and it's like, oh, I think you want a Wurmple. I'm like, I do not want a Wurmple. It's like,
Wurmple is everywhere.
I have Wurmple everywhere.
It's like, would you like a Wurmple in this trying time? It's like, I would not like this Wurmple
at any time. I'm going to pull up Pokemon Go right now, and it's going to be, the Wurmple is going to be in my backyard.
It's 900% going to be Wurmple. It's like, my favorite thing is, I just, because I have notifications on, so like Pokemon Go will give me notifications. I get notifications, if not every 30 minutes, then at least like every like 45-ish to an hour. They never stop trying to be like, come on, get these ghost Pokemon. And it's like, I would love to. Honestly, I would be thrilled to catch one at this point.
They don't even show up on my radar.
Yeah, no. I mean, if I wanted to walk through my neighborhood at 5 a.m. in the morning to the nearest Pokestop in the pouring down rain through a bunch of road construction that's currently going on, I could have gotten a ghost type Pokemon at 5 a.m. in the morning. And that's the only ghost type Pokemon I see. I will be unable to complete the throwback challenge, umbrella challenge, because I cannot get this one, like, just throw Sableye. Give me some Duskulls. Give me something. Just anything. I don't care what. It's starting to annoy me.
Yep. You got
like one day and like 5 hours from the time this thing goes live to finish it. So good luck. Maybe you'll see a ghost type Pokemon somewhere, because we sure haven't.
they don't exist at this point.
No.
Just so we're all clear.
In other Pokemon Go news, you have the ability now to vote on June and July's Community Day Pokemon.
Yes. So the good news here is that Pokemon Go is keeping up with the time and has given Murder Hornets an option as one of the upcoming Community Days choices. However, these are kind of like disappointing, I'll be honest. Like, so the four choices are Squirtle, Weedle, Sandslash, both Alolan and Kanto, and Ghastly. Now, of those four, I believe, Squirtle definitely has. Gengar has appeared in multiple events, and the Ghastly line. I don't think they've gotten a Community Day yet, but, you know, they've popped up. I can't remember that, because that would have been like 3 years ago when that Community Day happened. Weedle, you know, while Weedle doesn't have a shiny in the game yet, you know, so that's the big why you would vote for that. It's literally the only one of these species that doesn't have a shiny Pokemon in the wild right now. It's not a good Pokemon. Like, Beedrill is not a good Pokemon. And even like their write up for it, it's like, yeah, here's all these like competitive advantages with the moves that we're going to give you. Also, Beedrill has Drill Run. I'm sure you can come up with something about that. And it's like,
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we know that a lot of Pokemon Go players. I mean, it's split in half between the collection perfectionists and the actual, like, hardcore metagame players. So I would like, I mean, I don't care about shinies. I just want the murder hornets because let's do it. But honestly, of all of these, I'm pretty ambivalent about it.
Yeah.
So it's not like how I felt so passionately about the other voting options. But no, I'll go Beedrill.
Yeah, I think I want to see the Sandshrew one only because they're finally going to give Alolan Sandshrew a real fast move. Like right now he only has Powder Snow, which sucks.
Yeah, it does nothing.
And so we're finally going to get like a better fast move for that. So, you know, turning Sandslash into a Pokemon that you can use for something. So I'll probably vote for that one. And I haven't decided what I want my other one to be. I mean, I think Ghastly, either Blastoise is learning Aura Sphere, which I think is a pretty useful move for it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll give it some coverage against steel type Pokemon, so maybe that's probably the best of the four. Yeah, it's a little disappointing. I'm sad.
Yeah, it's all right.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, that's the name of Pokemon Go right there.
That's literally the point of Pokemon.
That is basically Niantic's model. Like, you know, you win some, like Pokemon Go, and you lose some, like Harry Potter.
Ouch. Yeah. Who remembers that? Shout out to the Harry Potter game, RIP.
Wow. They haven't closed it yet.
No, they haven't.
I see so many mobile ads for it on Reddit, though.
Oh, I know.
Consistently. They're everywhere.
Every once in a while, I'll get a press release about them, and it's like, yeah, we're going to be releasing Hermione Granger into the wild. Catch her while you can. It's like, like that's got some disturbing connotations. Or like, oh, Severus Snape is now an incorrigible or something like that. I forget what they call those.
How did you say his name?
Severus? Severus? Severus. It's Severus.
It's Severus.
It is
Severus. I do like Severus, though. That's like a very, listen, like...
guys, I got 2 hours of sleep last night. Like, the fact that I can say the word Pokemon correctly is a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, I used to say Hermione Hermity, like Hagrid, for the longest time when I was a kid, and then my mom corrected me.
No one in the United States knew how to say that name until the fourth book, where she literally stuck a pronunciation guide for her name as dialogue in the middle of that damn book.
Yeah, that's true.
So don't feel any shame about that. Anyways, back to Pokemon.
Back to Pokemon, because we're going to talk about the anime a little bit. And it's been crazy. There have been a number of old interviews that have been popping up here and there. They have been just filled with little tiny gold nuggets of just like little fun things for us to kind of talk about. And one of them is the fact that Lugia, not supposed to be in the game. Designed for the game.
Was not supposed to be for the game. It was designed by the head person of the anime series, and was then incorporated as such. But this does explain why Ho-Oh and Lugia, like, they kind of everything about those two Pokemon are kind of weird.
Yeah, they like look totally different.
Yeah,
usually there's that like the legendaries look similar-ish.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they have similar-ish characteristics or whatnot. And those two they're just birds.
Yeah. Is Lugia a bird? I mean, that's like a dinosaur. Yeah. Like, which I guess is technically a bird. But and it's like Lugia lives in the sea, but it's a psychic type Pokemon. Yeah. There's just a lot of like weird, I mean, don't get me wrong, Pokemon mythology in general is all sorts of messed stuff. Yeah,
especially when you get to the legendaries.
Yeah. There's at least... I was reading some of those the other day, and I was just cracking up. I was like, oh, that's why they're called this. These represent, like, you know, Taoist beliefs. I was like, okay, cool, cool, cool. And it's like, but yeah, like, the Lugia Ho-Oh, it makes sense that, you know, these Pokemon, that Lugia, they director came up with a cool design, wanted to use in a movie, and the game, people are like, yeah, let's use this. And then they're like, yeah, we'll figure out some way to bring it in. And that's why Lugia has literally nothing to do in that movie with anything remotely related to, like, Gold and Silver.
Yeah. So for some more context into the interview, this was written, these this, not, it wasn't even an interview. So the commentary came from Takeshi Shudo, who is the original writer of the Pokemon anime from 97 to 2002, where he shortly, unfortunately, passed away. And he did a bunch of like personal blogs during his time working on Pokemon. And to his credit, I mean, he comes out and straight says it, that he became obsessed with Lugia. It was a Pokemon that, I mean, he was obsessed with. He wrote about Lugia at length, how he created, you know, the design of Lugia to basically represent coexistence. It was a bird, but it was a fish. It was, you know, all this kind of stuff all together. It was male, it was female. It was all this coexistence, basically, into a Pokemon. And so he basically was able to do whatever he wanted with Lugia because he proved he was able to do Mewtwo Strikes Back with such success. Because when he did that first movie, the Pokemon Company had very little to do with it because they were dealing with the aftermath of the Porygon seizure incident in Japan. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, oh, we trust you, Shudo. So he came up with Lugia, he presented it, and then they were like, oh, we're going to use this in the video games. And Shudo was like, excuse me? what do you mean? Because that's kind of like the first time they've had that transference. So it's interesting to see like how far Gold and Silver was at the time compared to when, you know, things were really getting into movement for the second Pokemon movie. But yeah, Lugia was an anime original monster that they brought into the game. Poor Ho-Oh just never stood a chance. But yeah, super interesting. Shudo,
I wonder if there was like obsessed. if they had a legendary ready to go that wasn't Lugia but would have been in Lugia's place.
Well, let's look up the beta.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's something we can do. But it's interesting reading. I mean, Shudo wrote blog post after blog post after blog post about Lugia and his interest. And he said when the anime was finally recording, he said basically, and according to the translation from the Japanese, almost literally says he wanted to die after he heard that Lugia was being voiced by a male, that it had a masculine voice, because he really felt that Lugia had a female voice. And he was very upset about that presentation of the Pokemon in the anime and further in the games based on like gendering how they do male female Pokemon. So Shudo was not a fan of that. He felt very much it didn't need to be like gendered or anything like that. And it was really interesting. I mean, I feel like that was his masterpiece for him. I mean, and like he would just come out and say it, and he was just like, I am obsessed with what Lugia like represents.
That's crazy.
I know, and I was like, that's...
Especially since Lugia has kind of been backburnered. Like,
I feel like it's because, I mean, the person who knew the Pokemon best and who could have made a trajectory for that legendary Pokemon was Shudo,
yeah.
And he unfortunately passed away before, you know, like shortly after the second film went out. I mean, he died, and so I feel like they had this great Pokemon. They had all this stuff they could have done with him, but then the person who knew him best passed away and the team didn't know what to do with him since Shudo was so isolated in creating him. Mm-hmm. So sucks because I love Lugia.
So Lugia does not appear in the 1997 Space World beta. Ho-Oh does. And the legendary cats do as well. And actually, they actually kind of look more like dogs in this.
Yeah, they
literally changed from dogs to pretty cat to cats. No Lugia. So that was definitely a later addition to the game.
I wonder if that was more because of like, you know, how Red and Blue only had, you know, Mewtwo as the you know,
final Pokemon.
The final Pokemon. And then so Ho-Oh would have been the final Pokemon for that. And then we got into this crazy cycle of having two legendaries, one per game.
Yeah, that's true.
See?
It's intense. But yeah, just a little bit of neat history for you about Lugia.
Get a little rainbow going for you now.
All right, last thing for the news. Apparently there was an imposter Professor Oak originally in Gold and Silver.
Well, Jim, as you being the Pokemon trading card game expert, surely knows about the imposter Professor Oak card that appeared in the original Pokemon base set. It was a equivalent card to the Professor Oak card and showed a dude who looked a lot like Professor Oak, only had like a forehead scar. Yeah. An imposter Professor Oak is a recurring character in the trading card game. He's appeared on 3 different cards. No explanation about this guy ever given. So, this is not a new story. We've known this since 2018. I just didn't know about it. In the 1997 Space World beta for Pokemon Gold and Silver, there was indeed an imposter Professor Oak. He was originally intended to be some sort of villain in the game. We don't know what exactly this character would have been used for, but it is incredibly likely...
Shenanigans.
But since Professor Oak is recording at the Goldenrod radio tower and Team Rocket later takes over that radio tower, it is very possible that Imposter Professor Oak was used to somehow infiltrate that radio tower. That's my speculation, at least. Yeah. Also, Giovanni was supposed to originally appear in those games as well. And did not happen. And they've eventually explained that away to shenanigans, time travel shenanigans in Heart Gold and Soul Silver. So just another interesting fact. If you ever wonder, hey, what's the deal with that imposter Professor Oak? The answer is, he was supposed to be in Gold and Silver. And, you know, the Pokemon trading card game people got a hold of that art asset, thought it was cool, decided to use it, and then they dumped imposter Professor Oak. And, yeah, the rest is history.
Yeah. Fun Gold and Silver facts for everyone. Also, I have to add, because Hoffer yet again is trying to undermine the great name of Eevee by not putting this in our show notes, but if you are, like me, collecting the Friends with Eevee, the Glaceon figure is now available to purchase.
We talked about it last week, Megan!
Yeah, but sure, you gotta remind people it's available to buy right now, Hoffer!
It's probably sold out at this point.
I was still there. I checked before Megan. The show. I wanted to make sure that you got your hands on the Glaceon.
And I did, but nobody remembered to warn me about when Eevee went on sale, and I missed out. However, I did find one on Facebook Marketplace, and it's currently being shipped to me. So
there you go.
Yes, I'm just trying to help people who were like me.
Very happy. That Glaceon. Congratulations. All right, when we get back, we are going to talk about the Hellboy creator going wild on Twitter, drawing a bunch of Pokemon. Mike Mignola drawing Pokemon when we get back.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with signature vintage wash sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, signature vintage wash sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, signature vintage wash sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Okay, so Mike Mignola has been doing a number of sketches for charity that he's been auctioning off for charity because, you know, amid the coronavirus pandemic, a lot of shops are out of commission, and it's all money just, you know, to help the comic book industry.
Actually, his if I recall correctly, he's auctioning them off to support a charity kitchen.
Oh, is he doing a charity kitchen?
Yeah,
I thought some of them initially were going to Bink, but anyway. He's doing them for charity purposes.
Yeah, that's the important part.
He's doing them for charity purposes during the time. And so Mike Mignola, the reason this is a big deal is because he does not normally do sketches. And when he does, they're very few and far between. And you know, this is a huge opportunity for fans of his to get some art. Yeah. Now, he's done a bunch of zany things. He did all the General Mills cereal characters at one point. He did some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ones, I think kind of at the very beginning. A lot of Hellboy stuff, obviously. A lot of kind of just, you know, his own kind of creation kinds of things. And then he turned his attention to Pokemon. And boy, oh boy, are they gorgeous. So the first one that took everyone by surprise was Bulbasaur.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I remember it got posted on Instagram in the dead of night while I was still, I'm pretty sure, I think if I recall correctly, time's a blur, but I'm pretty sure I was still in the hospital at this point with my child. And that's like the first one that came up. I think it got posted like really late, like either really early Thursday or really late Wednesday. And yeah, it's freaking fantastic. And so he posted that, and then the one after that was Weezing and Slowbro. Then he did Gyarados and Mew. There was a Charmander, a Jigglypuff, and a I can't remember who the third Pokemon in that group. There was one with Nidoqueen. There was a Tyranitar and a Gengar, and then he finished off his series with Pikachu. Now, like the thing is about, I don't usually get a chance to gush about like comics artwork very often, especially on a Pokemon podcast. Like Mike Mignola, he has a very unsettling style mm-hmm. that is very simplistic, but imbues his subjects with a certain level of like creepiness. And it really, you can really see that in this art. Like this Jigglypuff is literally floating in a pool of water. This Jigglypuff is half submerged. Its eyes are wide. It's just looking off into space. Creepy. Mm-hmm. He designed Gengar as like a pixie type character. The smallest we've ever seen Gengar mm-hmm. probably displayed ever. Even his cute ones like Mew and Bulbasaur, there's just something a little bit off. And it's...
Well, just like the existential dread you get from like the Psyduck stare.
Oh, yeah. Like... Yeah, Psyduck was the other one. And like a lot of these Pokemon just look like I love the Slowbro. Mm-hmm. We talk in Slowbro, by the way. Stay tuned for a fun poke fact of the week about that guy. But, you know, we joke around about some of these things and like, you know, this is literally one Pokemon who is eating another Pokemon. And, like, you don't really, like, think about just how creepy that is until you see Mike Mignola's, like, borderline zombie, zombie Slowbro just staring off to space. Oh, God. It was absolutely amazing. Like, you know, the Pokemon Company does these, like, art collaborations from time to time, and really, they need to just back up to Mike Mignola's house with a garbage truck full of money and just dump it on his front lawn. Like, this is what Pokemon fans deserve. This is top-notch art.
Yeah, they haven't done one that has impressed me this much since they worked with Junji Ito for the Pokemon series. I mean, when Junji Ito did it, he's a very famous horror like manga artist, comics artist. It's terrifying what he does to a lot of heavy lines, a lot of heavy inking. Mignola is like soft terror, and I like really love it. Still bitter. It seems that he's done, but I'm still bitter he didn't do Eevee or any of the evolutions, because I think that would have been like a really weird like Black Mirror kind of thing he could have done with like just never ending Eevees. But no, it's so cool. I would definitely, it'll be worth, I'm very curious to see how much they'll be auctioned for, because
yeah.
mm-hmm. Pokemon fans and, you know, comic book fans are both going to be entering this race together for a lucky copy.
So yeah, I will admit this is the first time that I have a Jim Viscardi style story here.
Let's do it.
When all of this came out and he started posting his pictures, I desperately wanted that Bulbasaur. I have never wanted something in my life that much. Like I will straight up admit it. So I proceeded to get in touch with a representative of Mike Mignola and asked, name a price, give me the Bulbasaur. Straight up, no shame. And in order to just even get this through, I had to jump through several like hoops to figure out who to contact officially about this. And also I had to get approval from my darling wife, who, like, when she's like, yeah, just like, what's the budget for this? I'm like, no, Darcy, you don't understand. The budget is I'm buying this. And so I had to, like, haggle with her in order to open up the proverbial floodgates and, like, you know, turn off the safety on my credit card. Unfortunately, Bulbasaur will not be one of the pieces auctioned. That was a gift that Mike did for his daughter, who we can now safely say that Mike Mignola's daughter has excellent taste in Pokemon.
True.
She does.
You know, I will also note that of our favorite Pokemon, only one of ours got represented by Mignola. Although I did think I saw Golem on there. There was a rock that one of the Pokemon was standing on, and that's basically the same thing.
But we did get Gengar, who
is a fan favorite of us here at the show.
Yeah,
so that's good. I love the Scyther one, though. Like, that's another thing. Like, I love Scyther too. But, like, that one looked great.
Scyther, yeah. That one, and the Omastar, like, think of, like, Omastar as, like, a great Pokemon, but, like, you know, like, Hellboy, like, you know, freaking Mignola knows how to do tentacles. Like, mm-hmm. he is very good at drawing tentacles in a non-gross way.
Yeah. So outside of personal favorites, so Megan, you can't pick Vaporeon or whatever. If you could have Mignola do one, what Pokemon would you pick from the original 150?
Oh, Tentacruel.
Oh, you took mine. That was going to be mine.
No, Tentacruel. Absolutely Tentacruel. There's no way you don't pick Tentacruel in this situation.
Christian?
This is hard. I would either go with the legendary birds because I really feel he would capture, like, their godliness. Or I would go with Kingler, because, you know, Lobster Johnson.
Oh, Kingler would be great. My number two, if someone picked Tentacruel, was going to be Magmar.
Oh, that would be the first time Magmar got depicted in a cool way. I will say this, of the 150 original Pokemon, like, Magmar is probably my least favorite design.
Oh, really?
I do not like his butt head.
That's true. I think he would also do a really good Dusclops.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's so many.
Like I said, like, if the Pokemon company does not, like, actively try to collaborate with Mignola, it is a missed opportunity. And, like, you know what? Like, Mignola, like, I know he's still, like, occasionally doing Hellboy stuff right now because they brought back, like, the Hellboy in, like, the 1950s, right? I think that's still a thing. So I know he's still kind of, like, show running the Hellboy series for Dark Horse. But you know what? He's kind of, like, enjoying his retirement or semi-retirement. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Like, just let them go nuts. What a win-win if they could.
Just like, yeah, right. And just like, let him paint, right? Like, full color paint. Oh, it would be so pretty.
Yeah. So Mignola, he came to Columbus last year. There's a comics festival that I help run called Cartoon Crossroads Columbus. Cartoon Crossroads Columbus. It's a strange name. It's CXC. And so Mignola was one of our featured guests, and he brings with him a sketchbook, like a book just full of his sketches. And he's just, like, sitting at a table, and he's just, like, selling them. So I was like, I told Darcy, I was like, I'm going to buy myself a Mike Mignola sketch. So I go up to him. The cheapest one is $200. Anything with Hellboy is, like, $400. And I was like, okay. Let's get this started. Where's your stripe? And he's like, looks up at me. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I only am taking cash. It's like, oh, Mike Mignola, just, of course you are. Like, I just was dying. And he's still like sold out. Like, you know, straight up saying like, yeah, sorry, I'm only doing cash. And just like, not even an issue. Like, there's only a handful of artists that could, like, really pull that off. And Mike Mignola is one of them.
For sure.
Basically, yes.
All right, Christian, why don't you hit us with the Pokemon fact of the week?
So last week, we were, one of our reviews asked us what happens to Slowbro or Slowking if the Shellder gets pulled off of its head / tail. There is an official answer to that. Technically, according to the Pokedex, if you pull the Shellder from its tail, it becomes a Slowpoke once again, meaning Slowbro is one of the few Pokemon, if not the only Pokemon, that's technically capable of de-evolution.
That's crazy.
It is. Now, this is not, obviously, there's no basis of this. And the only reason I remembered, even remembered this, was last year they were doing, like, a Pokemon fact a day on the Pokemon Twitter account. Mm-hmm. And this was, like, what they used for Slowbro. And I was just like, wait a second. So, de-evolution technically is allowed. And that is a thing that exists in the Pokemon world.
Huh. Interesting.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine? Like, but like, does the shell then turn back into
a Shellder?
Shellder?
I mean, well, originally that secondary Shellder was supposed to be a, like, I can't remember if it was supposed to be a, it wasn't supposed to be Shellder, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a new
thing. It was supposed to be a different Pokemon.
Yeah.
And they originally changed that, but they liked the Slowbro design enough that they kept it. Because, let's face it, a Slowbro with a Cloyster does not have anywhere. And also, once again, probably would have the wrong connotations there.
Let's just leave it there.
There's going to be a lot of our younger audience is going to be asking themselves, Mommy, Daddy, what did the
Pokemon people mean? Well,
on that note.
Before we, you know, this was a nice show before we lost our clean rating. And, well, that about does it for us today. Normally in this section, we will, you know, we'll take some time to read some listener reviews, but we are short on time. So if you want to leave a listener review, go on to iTunes, give us if you leave us a 5-star review and we read it on the air, you get a free comicbook.com t-shirt. If you have any questions for us or you want to just talk about Pokemon and just, you know, kind of, you know, if you got burning questions or things on your mind, tips or tricks, find us on Twitter. You can find me at Jim Viscardi.
You can find me on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And I am at C Hoffer C Bus.
So until next week, where we have no idea what kind of Pokemon news we will get, we'll catch you at the same time, same place, every Thursday, wherever podcasts can be found. We'll catch you there.